why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful week thus far. So we are about to get into Christmas week. So you already know what time it is. The end of the year is here. People are slacking. People are not going to work. People are taking off. People are just like ready for 2019. So I mean, I'm one of those people. I've taken several days off of work, and I actually will be taking the entire Christmas week off. So I am just looking forward to this period of rejuvenation before the new year. But before we go any further with the show, I do have a quick word from our sponsors. This month's sponsor is the Brooklyn Common Space at the Bushwick location. So for a limited time offer of 2 months membership, we have a special deal. 50% off the normal rate for office space at the Brooklyn Commons Bushwick location when you obtain a 6-month membership agreement. Guys, do not let this deal pass you by, especially for those of you who are of the entrepreneur persuasion, who's looking for space to really get your creative juices flowing. Definitely check out the Brooklyn Commons space, Bushwick location. Like I said, I've been there. It's a great space. It has all this feng shui. So if you're looking for co-working space, event space, office rentals, definitely check them out. So today we're not going to have time to go into our preliminary. So for those of you who are looking forward to the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week, the womp womp of the week, unfortunately, you're going to have to tune in next week. We have a very special guest coming onto the show today, and the conversation is too real, too good for me to really cut that short. So I'm allocating the time to my special guest. But before we go into the meat of the show, I do want to give a really, really big shout out to my girl, my makome, Marley Marcellus Laurent. She is the mother of my goddaughter, Charlotte Grace. She's my former work wife. We have been good friends for several years now, my travel partner. And so this year she's embarked on a real big age year of our Lord. So I'm sending you all the love, all of the peace, all of the success, financial success for your year of our Lord, for your Jesus year. So big shout out to you again, Marley. I love you, and I hope that this year is everything and more. All right, so I am with my wonderful, wonderful guest, my cousin Orville. Orville, say hello.
Hey, everyone. I'm Orville Davis, and thank you so much, Rita, for having me here tonight.
So it's funny because I think, when was it? Was it Thanksgiving that we had this conversation about having you come on the show? So those of you guys who have listened to my post-Thanksgiving show, this is the Orville that had the bar and bartender available for Thanksgiving. This was the lit Thanksgiving that you guys were seeing all up on my social media. This is the owner of the home. So I was talking about the Thanksgiving. I was like, oh my gosh, like this was the best Thanksgiving ever. There was a bar, there was a bartender, there was karaoke. Like, this was the best Thanksgiving ever. So the people are familiar with you, you and Cynthia.
Well, I feel honored. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Orville. Like, who are you? You know, what do you do? What are you into?
Sure. Well, for the most part, I'm an entrepreneur. I do several things. Real estate investment is the main part of it. Also, I'm into motivational speaking. I try to give advice to those who are seeking it. Obviously, I don't want to be imposing anything on other people. But, you know, a lot of people come to me and they feel that I could help them with some stuff. So I try to guide them through certain things with like positivity and meditation and how to be more spiritually aware of like of things that are going on in your life, because a lot of people don't realize that these things actually play a very key foundation to like how things operate in the world.
And it's interesting because I remember when I first met you several years ago, I was like, who is this guy? But you were always so like nice and positive. Like that's the one thing I could always say, like this guy is always like positive. He's always easygoing. He's always kind of like go with the flow. It's like, does Orville ever get mad? So I'm just like, who is this guy? But I mean, but I've always observed that about your character. And then at first I was like, nobody can be this cool and calm, you know. But then over the years, I'm like, this is exactly who you are. You're just like, and you're always, you know, searching for answers. You're always like wanting to learn to better yourself. Because every time we meet up, there's always a conversation about something random. And I'm just like, you know, not many people actually look, you know, research things just for the sake of researching and to have and to actually like accumulate knowledge just for the sake of doing that. And you're one of those people, like you speak like several languages. Like, so Orville is like a savant, basically. I feel like there's nothing that he can't do. Aww. But I wanted to get you on the show because I, you know, over the course of the year, you know, you've been sending out, I get my daily WhatsApp positive motivation text from you. But I see that even in your social media, I've noticed that you've kind of been following this path, and being, you know, bringing awareness to being more aware, self-aware, right, mindfulness, spirituality. And it's been a consistent thing. So it's not like, you know, once in a blue moon post, but every single day, you know, you make it a point to put out that positivity out there and to share. And so I'm kind of curious as to, you know, how did all this come about? What inspired you, you know, to go down that path?
Well, it's actually interesting because it actually started when I was a teenager. You see, I used to have a mentor who was my godfather by the name of Reverend Ike. And a lot of people may not know who he is, but he was actually a renowned motivational speaker and reverend. And, you know, he had spoke highly about mindfulness and mind science, which nowadays is known as the law of attraction. And like this started in the 70s, where he was like preaching about like black prosperity and positivity and mm-hmm. love. And, you know, I would always go to his services. My father and my mother would always take me and my brothers and sisters. And, you know, one Sunday he brought me up on stage and it was like, hey, you know what? I want you to speak about the law of attraction. And this is before like The Secret came out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, let me speak about it. And, you know, ever since then, I was like, you know, I kind of like doing this. And, you know, but I always kind of kept it like underneath growing up because not too many people were accepting of it. Mm-hmm. So in order to hang with the cool kids, I kind of just like, you know, kept it underneath and just did it inside closed doors. But, you know, over time, I felt that, you know, people started to become more accepting towards like, you know, positivity and trying to become more in life and trying to like actually prosper within their life, whether it's in regards to like health, finance, love and such. So I'm like, you know, I have these secrets and why don't I just share it with the world, right?
Okay. So mindfulness, like, so before we started rolling the tape, I was telling you that, you know, I feel like it's like a movement mm-hmm. now, just like how this whole black love thing is like back in everyone's faces. Everybody's, you know, wearing their hair natural, no makeup, all this whole like movement to kind of just be more self-aware and more self-accepting. Mm-hmm. I find that people are now moving, like I'm hearing more about mindfulness and more about spirituality amongst our community. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was at work and one of my colleagues, you know, had a book and it was actually called Mindfulness. And it was more like a picture book. There wasn't a lot of like writing, but I read a couple of pages and I'm like, this is interesting. And he was just like, we need to get our minds right. You know, and we're attorneys. So, you know, mindfulness, I think, is really important for people who are in these type of like high structured fields. Mm-hmm. But he was just like, man, I started reading it and I feel like, you know, my life is already changing. Like I'm so much, I feel like there's so many things that I need to be aware of that I wasn't. And, you know, I feel like this stuff could actually help me move forward. And he's like, you got to get on to this. Right. And so I saw it and I'm like, you know, Cousin Orville's always talking about mindfulness and spirituality, but why do you think it's more accepting now? Like, why do you think this movement is occurring now?
So honestly, I believe that the reason why this is occurring now is because people have been living the same way for decades. And, you know, they've been going through it and they feel that, you know, it's come to a point where the old ways are no longer benefiting them and they're looking for something different. So because of this, I mean, I feel that it actually that the crowd is actually looking to look for a new way on how to succeed in life, because things are forever changing, especially faster than ever, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, our generation, especially now, we're kind of frustrated. Mm-hmm. And we see that the way like our parents were living, you know, we can't live the same way. You know, we can't, like, the way that the world is moving now, we can't do things the way that they did. And it's about, I feel like people are really after like true prosperity.
Right.
Not really about like the get rich quick schemes, but they're really looking. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur,
right,
and it's like everybody's trying to be an entrepreneur now. Like, mm-hmm, everybody's trying to do things for their own. And I feel like maybe that's, people feel like there's like a disconnect in a sense. Or maybe, mm-hmm, they're like, well, let's give this spirituality thing, this mindfulness thing a try.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel that, you know, this has always been around, but people, I guess, had amnesia, right? So they forgot that, you know, this is what they actually needed to be doing. And as of lately, you know, there's been a shift in consciousness and people are starting to wake up. And this is that whole thing about people being woke, right? Mm-hmm. So they're starting to wake up and they're starting to realize, like, you know, hey, what am I doing? Like, you know, I guess I've been brainwashed this whole time. And, you know, now I feel that, you know, there's a bigger aspect to this world, and it's not just, you know, this physical plane, but there's a underlying spiritual entity to it as well. And that's the part that I know is to be true. And I want to share it with the world. Obviously I see you're, you know, embarking upon it. And, you know, I feel that this is something very beneficial for the average person and even entrepreneurs. And believe it or not, a lot of people that are in successful positions and that are like, that run big time companies, they have a spiritual aspect that they know exists. And they, whether they admit it or not, they know that they have to do certain things in order for certain, you know, business deals to go through properly, or certain things to go into their favor, especially even in the legal field of things.
Mm-hmm. So I guess one question I have with the whole like mindfulness and spirituality movement, how does this play in with traditional religion, mm-hmm, right? Because I find that like before, when I used to hear people talk about spirituality and mindfulness, it was more of like a mystic or mythic thing. And it wasn't really like, they didn't really see how it fit in with, you know, traditional everyday, like, you know, religious spiritual practices, right? Mm-hmm. And so some might say, you know, if you believe in this form of spiritualism or in this mindfulness, then you don't, you know, that it's, I guess, a juxtaposition of like, you know, God and religion as we know it. And so how do you reconcile that?
Well, what I like to think about is that spirituality and mindfulness is the true essence of the soul, of the spirit, and that religions are, they serve as like a platform to get to spirituality. The goal is to reach spirituality and mindfulness, but some people it's hard to go straight to it. So the fact that we have religion helps build us up to that part. And then it's like, I like to think of it as like religion is like the high school, and then spirituality and mindfulness is the college, the university, where, mm-hmm, we start to like embark upon what we gathered together from the religion, and now we're taking it to the higher level, to the actual level of spirituality, the true essence of our soul.
Okay. Now, in terms of being mindful and embarking on this journey of spirituality, mm-hmm, I guess if you could just highlight maybe what some of the benefits are of embarking on this journey. I mean, obviously, you know, positivity, right, but sometimes people want to like, they want to see, you know, the points, right? Like I want to get into what are some ways we can embark on this journey, mm-hmm, but I also want to talk about like, what are some of the benefits?
Right.
Cause people like, they like to see, you know, what the benefits are.
Well, the first one is that there's a significant decrease in stress once you embark upon spirituality. You'll start to realize, like, you know, there's certain things that like I usually get mad about, and you know, but when you're embarking upon this spiritual journey, you start to realize, like, you know what, there's a reason for certain things, and that I'm in control of it. And you know, if I just tweak something, just a little bit, you know, I'm able to change the outcome of certain situations. And, you know, for example, like I could have been stressed out earlier today when I was on my way here. I had, actually had gotten a flat tire, and, you know, rather than ranting and raving like, oh my God, I got a, I got a flat tire. Like, why? I said, all right, no problem. You know, I pulled over and just changed it myself. 1, 2, 3 and just got back on the road. Didn't even complain about it. Just kept it moving. But, you know, some people, they have a choice whether they could, you know, handle this in a positive way or be all caught up in, you know, be enthralled in a negative emotion, which eventually starts to spread out into their everyday and starts to affect certain situations that occur later on in their day and in their week or possibly in their life. So, you know, I feel that when you embark upon a spiritual journey, one, you reduce stress, you know, two, you're instead of finding a battle uphill, you start to go with the flow of the universe, the flow of God, the flow of whoever you may believe in, and start to realize, you know, maybe my plane wasn't as, you know, airtight as I thought it was. And there's a bird eye view that, that has a better plan. And, you know, I'm just going to go with that and let it take me in that way.
And I guess that, in a sense, goes to point number one, reducing stress. Because I feel like when people are not go with the flow, they tend to be a little more uptight.
Right.
And if you're more uptight, then you are going to be a more stressed individual because you feel like you have to control everything.
Right, right. So yeah, that's the thing. You know, people want to control everything and they feel like they want to be in charge of their lives. And there's a certain aspect which you can be in control of, but to try to control every single little thing, you know, it's... You're pretty much like finding something that you have no power over. I think that people should just try to focus on what they can control. Like they know that they can control certain things, like you know, the information they take in, what they do, like what they eat, what they if they're going to exercise, and how they treat certain people. So those are the things that they can control. What they do, their own actions. Focus on that. Don't try to control everything else in the world. I mean, I know you would like to have certain events happen in your life, which is on the positive end, but if it doesn't happen, don't stress about it, because you know there's a bigger plan to it. As long as you trust in the process, you will be led in the right direction. But if you start to think negative, then you start to go on a different path, which will lead you into more bumps and bruises down the road.
And I think what you said just now is really important, trusting the process. I think a lot of people aren't trusting individuals, period. They don't trust people. They don't trust themselves. And so I think that might be where some people go wrong, is that they don't know how to trust the process.
Right.
And so I guess, could you speak about maybe different ways that people can, I guess, people who are not as trusting, right? How one can start to actually trust the process?
So, you know, people are usually scarred by their past events and they keep replaying this story in their head over and over again. And what they don't realize is that when you're replaying the story, you're starting to create a new story that has the same results. And it all begins and ends with you. So it's like when you think about certain things, you're creating certain outcomes to occur. So like the first part is to realize, you know, what is the relationship I have with myself? Do I trust myself? You know, people have to have that hard, honest conversation with themselves. Like, do I really trust myself? Do I love myself? How do I feel about myself? What are the actions that prove that I love myself and that I trust myself? And then from there, they could start to move forward. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be naive and a fool and say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, walk around and just like have anybody just do whatever. But, you know, you start to be reserved and just observe certain things and see certain actions of how people are. But begin with giving the trust first. I mean, it all starts with giving first, you know, in order for you to receive it. But obviously, you give in a way where you feel comfortable. And so it's like, all right, look, let me trust somebody with a small task first, and you want them to accomplish it. You don't want to hope for them to let you down. You want to actually believe that they're going to follow through with what you ask them to do. And then you take it a step further. You start to like build it more and more. And so finally, you know, you're in a situation where things are starting to flow in your way. When you ask people to do certain things, they do it.
Okay. Now, if somebody, I want you to walk me through, like if somebody were to come to you and say, listen, I, you know, I want to be woke, right? I want to, like, I've been seeing all these things that you've been posting about spirituality and positivity, and I'm in a place where I just want to be a more positive person. Like how you described earlier, a lot of people with that flat tire situation, they would have been cursing everybody. They would have been like, you know what? F this, I'm not coming anymore. My whole day is ruined. But I want to get to a place where I don't let things phase me. Mm-hmm. Like, how would you guide somebody who's new to all of this mindfulness, spirituality talk? How would you guide them onto this path?
Well, the first thing I would ask them is, why do they want to join this path? Why do they want to become a part of this movement? And to see where their gauge is at. Are they doing it just to impress people, or do they really want to do it for themselves? And then the second thing that I would do is... to start off small, you know, start by seeing positive affirmations in the day. And I mean, that's part of like what I'm doing as far as like, when I send out these quotes, is just to plant these seeds of positivity and let it grow from there. Because, it, you know, you can't just change somebody overnight. It just doesn't work like that. And those who think that they can change overnight are lying to themselves. So it starts by one step at a time. Like, you know, a house is built by one brick at a time, right? Mm-hmm. So you just got to keep building these bricks on top of each other until you get to that state where you're like, all right, you know, I feel comfortable with myself. I feel that I could, you know, go forth and spread this positivity that I've built up within myself with the world. So that's my first bit of advice, is to figure out what their objective is, why they're doing this, and to start by positive affirmations. And then we'll take it a step further after I feel that, you know, they're starting to remember positive affirmations in their head every day. Like, oh yeah, I'm great. I'm positive. I'm blessed. I'm beautiful. I'm courageous. I'm excited about today.
So those are, so basically we don't need to go purchase all these books and do all this stuff in the beginning when it comes to the positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. It's something as simple as saying, I'm great. I'm beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that you first need to reprogram your beliefs and your thinking, because I mean, if you try to like go head in into like spirituality and you're not actually prepared and ready for it, your subconscious is automatically going to reject it. You're going to try to find ways to see like, you know, I'm not going to do it today. I don't feel like doing it today. And then those things are a result of your subconscious trying to put you back into the old program that you had. Mm-hmm. So it's like when people sign up for a gym membership after New Year's, right? And they're like, oh yeah, I'm good. This is my year. I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna do this. And then, you know, they buy all these gym memberships and then they never go, right? Because they never program themselves to actually be prepared to go to the gym. They never start by saying, you know what, before I get the membership, let me just start off by doing at least like 10 push-ups in a day, right? Mm-hmm. Let me just start off little by little, you know, and then become used to the fact that like, all right, I'm used to this burn. I'm used to this feeling, and I can start taking it a step further. You know, you just don't teach like a child, you know, calculus right off the bat. You know, you wait for them to go through their regular, you know, addition, subtraction, multiplication, mm-hmm. division. And then when they get a little more advanced, then you start to give them more that they can handle. You don't want to give people too much that they can't handle.
And I think that's actually really interesting what you said about the gym thing, because I never thought about it that way in terms of, you know, if you're one of those people, again, it's about knowing yourself too, right?
Right.
If you're one of those people who, you know, I'm going to get this gym membership, but I'm not going to go, this whole thing about preparing to actually go to the gym, I think is important. I think if people were like, all right, let me do 5 push-ups or 10 push-ups or whatever, and then say, okay, let me go waste, you know, not waste, but let me go spend my money at the gym, it would be less of a waste.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, because you know, people they go into shock when they get into like such a new environment, and the percentage of people that actually will succeed in it is not that favorable. So it's like, why try to fight against statistics and lose the money when you could actually say, you know what, let me just prepare myself and get into it. I mean, just like athletes, before they go into a game, you know, they prepare themselves mentally before they go in. They have their chants, they have their hoorahs, and they get pumped up, they do their warm-ups, and then they go into the game. They don't just say, all right, I'm just going to go into a game because I feel like, you know, playing.
And it's so true, though, because you figure, like, if you can't leave your house to actually go to the gym, right? Then you're not really as committed. Right. Like, if you can't do 2 push-ups in your house, then why do you think you're going to go do more at the gym? So that's actually, I'm internalizing that, because unfortunately I had become one of those people who I have a gym membership lingering, and there's always a reason why I can't go.
Well, you know, I think that it's because, you know, you're looking for the motivation that's there, and you feel that if you're around them, that energy is going to rub off on you. But the fact is that you're not ready to bring on that energy. So it's like you need to prepare yourself so that you say, all right, you know, now that I feel like I could kind of compete a little, like now I could start to feel like I'm in the same league or something similar where we could start moving it a step further.
Okay. So I want to talk about meditation.
Okay.
So I feel like meditation is also a big part of this mindfulness, spirituality walk, right? Now, there's a lot of people out there, you know, selling meditation, and there's guided meditation on YouTube and all sorts of stuff.
Right.
Now, if you could just talk a little bit about one, what exactly is meditation, and why is it important for us to meditate?
Right. So, first of all, you know, there's like a million and one different meditations, right? And no one is actually better than the other. It's just about which serves your purpose, right? And they all have different tracks, but they all lead to the same source, and that's becoming more aware of yourself and your environment. And the main part with meditation is, like, most of the time is to actually focus on something simple as your breathing or like the feeling in your body, and then start to like build from there. Some people like actually like to just clear their thoughts and not think about a thing, right? But then you have other people that say, you know what, like, let me get to a neutral state where I'm not thinking about anything. And then now let me start to bring in positive ideas and things that I want to accomplish or things that I want better in my life or in my body. You know, I've seen people actually use meditation to heal their body. I mean, my father being one of them, he was a big believer in that, like, you know, meditation can actually heal your body. And he would do that. He actually had recovered from like 3 different strokes, and like where he was paralyzed on one side, and he would meditate about it and visualize himself being healthy again, right? And he would actually come back and go back to work, right? And with full function of that side of the body. And you know, there's many different ways that you can meditate. You don't actually have to purchase any material. I mean, like, nowadays you could get pretty much everything for free online. But I mean, it all begins with you, because you know, you have to actually sit there and say, you know what, let me just take a second before I get started, before I check my phone, before I check the emails, before I check anything, let me just take a second, sit here in bed, focus on my breathing. Let me get in tune with myself. Let me realize, you know, what my body's trying to tell me, what my spirit's trying to tell me, what the universe is trying to tell me. And I get into alignment with it and allow it to lead me in the proper direction that it needs me to go within the day.
Now, what about people who struggle with silence? Like for me, like, I've tried meditation on a few occasions, not that often. And I find that it's a struggle for me to stay focused on whatever it is I need to, like, I guess on the mindfulness aspect of it. Right. Like if I'm silent and I'm in meditation pose or mode, I'm somehow what I need to be doing tomorrow is creeping into my head. Then I'm like, wait, I forgot to do this. Then, so it's like life is really, like, you know, hitting me at that moment, and I am not able to really focus on myself and the moment that I'm supposed to be taking in. So how does one, because I'm sure there are many others out there like me, how do we break that so that we could successfully meditate?
Right. So many people believe that, you know, you could just go right into meditation and just master it right away. But this is a thing that requires practice, just like working out. It's a thing that requires practice. So a lot of times we try to say, all right, like, the mind has to be silent. And the truth is, the mind usually is never silent. So you want to do something that's actually going to be more beneficial and believable and attainable, like, in your aspect, right? So it's like, you know, you want to start off by trying to focus on your breath. And even though you're thinking about certain things, you know, you become aware of it. Like, hey, wait, I'm thinking about certain things. Wait, let me stop. Bring back to what I'm trying to meditate on, like, and just try to catch yourself each step of the way. I mean, you're gonna mess up every now and then, and in the beginning especially. But the key is to actually keep practicing, and it becomes stronger and stronger. But you have to stay consistent with it, because you know, it's like, and I always try to bring it back to working out. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, like, one day you may be able to do 50 push-ups, but then if you stop for like about a week, you know, you're like, shit, I can't get back to it. I mean, I can only do about 10 or 20. But but if you stay consistent with it, next thing you know, you're doing 1,000 in a day. You know, so it's about that. It's about, you know, actually becoming conscious and aware that, all right, my mind is drifting off. Let me just take a second, stop, become aware that it's drifting off, and bring me back to the neutral point where I need to be, to focus on my breath, to focus on the feeling in my body.
Okay. So the last two episodes of the show, I talked about like being in the dark place, you know, end of year, especially a lot of people are entering the end of year blues. They're getting depressed. They're in a dark place because they've now looked and they're like, wow, 2018 is pretty much done. And I haven't accomplished the things that I wanted to accomplish, or they're feeling like, you know, they're looking at everybody else who's done stuff and they're starting to feel like they're failed. You know, I guess they're focusing on their failures. Right. And so I feel like, so for people who are already in their depressive states, for people who are, you know, in their dark places, how does mindfulness or spirituality seep in at that point? Right. Because I find that a lot of times, you know, when you're not in those types of states, you know, you can draw on positivity at any point. But when you're deep down in a hole, like, how can you get out with, right, you know, with I guess, you know, these practices?
Right. So, I mean, the biggest part is to, you know, for the person to actually become accustomed to the fact that, okay, you know what, I'm in this situation, and actually want change. You know, they actually have to want to change, because as much as you want someone else to change, they won't be able to do it unless they want to. They have to get to that point where they say, you know what, I want something else, and become open to the idea that there is a different way to handle things and to actually succeed in life. And, you know, to whoever may be listening to this, you know, if they hear this and they say, you know what, there is a different way, because there actually is a different reality where they are not depressed, where they're not in this dark position, and it exists, but they have to focus their minds on that and say, okay, you know, this is an attainable goal that I could reach, because there's other people out there doing it. There's other people that are out there living a happy and successful life. And it's not because they, you know, they may be having, like, you know, all the fancy houses and cars and a good job or whatever, but they know how to battle the emotions that are occurring within themselves. So when they are focusing on this reality, this split reality that exists in a different dimension, you know, they are able to bring that closer and closer into their lives. And it starts by little things. Okay, affirmations. You know what? Instead of saying that, you know, I'm depressed, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm in the blues, right? They have to actually start to affirm to themselves as if they were actually healthy and happy and excited about life, even before it's actually true in this reality, because you have to set your mind up and set your spirit up to actually accepting the truth that's really within you, then, which is that we are, you know, eternal beings within our souls, right? And that we can actually harness that power as long as we start to focus on it. I mean, like Tony Robbins would say, you know, where attention goes, energy flows, which is the exact case. You know, when you focus on something, that's what enables things to grow. You have that seed of positivity that everybody has within them, but you have to nurture, you have to water it, you have to give it light in order for it to grow. And these are the little things that people have to do.
So I think that's really important, because what I'm getting from that is that, like, so this depressed individual, if they were always, or if they were from the beginning telling themselves or giving these positive affirmations to themselves, right, even, like, you know, during their happy moments, at the time where you get into your dark place or depressive state, you already kind of have the seed, right, that's already been watering inside. So, you know, at some point, you know, if anybody's ever been in a depressed state or in a dark place, like, there is a point where you kind of start, like, you know that there's a light there somewhere. It's whether or not you want to go toward the light, or do you want to stay in the dark space where you are. But I feel like if you've been doing these practices, right, when you are in the dark place, like, they're still in your mind. They're still in, I guess, in your heart, right?
Right.
So at some point, you can snap out of it, because you'll remember the affirmations that you've always said from the beginning. And I think that what that leads me to believe is that all of us should be doing this on a daily basis regardless.
Right. I mean, you have to build up that equity, because, you know, it's something that it's easier to do while before you get into the bad situation. When you're in the bad situation, everybody always try to look for a way out. But, you know, you know, the main thing is that try not to get into that situation, right? Mm-hmm. But and try not to look for help when you are already deep in the hole. I mean, but there is still possibility for you to get out, but it just takes a little longer.
It's a little harder.
Yeah.
It's a little harder. And I think that, you know, some people, you know, this is just who they are, unfortunately, mm-hmm. because of, you know, their makeup. You know, there will always be a time right. where they'll go into a dark cave and then come out.
And sometimes their upbringing too.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors.
Have a nurturing environment.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, a lot of us, I think we rely on, or we rely is the word, like on our childhood, right? Or we lean on our childhood and we're like, well, you know, I didn't hear it enough. They didn't tell me they loved me enough, or I didn't grow up in a happy home. And we kind of just accept that mm-hmm. for being what it was. And then we continue living right. the life that we were living when we were kids.
But this is the role that, you know, religion and church plays, that, like, as we were speaking about earlier, that it serves as a stepping stone in order to attain this certain mindfulness and spirituality. Because a lot of times when you go into a church or you go into a synagogue or a temple or mosque, mm-hmm. you know, it's a place of comfort, of rebuilding your morale, your positivity, your spirits, right? Mm-hmm. So these are actually certain things that are beneficial for people who may grow up in a situation where it's not nourishing, where they're being, you know, battered at and, you know, being talked down to. So these little things will help train them and condition them for more, for things that occur later on in life that may not be that beneficial for them, you know. Mm-hmm. But as far as like affirmations, like, I strongly believe in that. You want to build up that equity of positive affirmation. I mean, this is part of the reasons why I send it out to people. Some people say, hey, you know, why are you sending me this? But hey, look, yeah. I know why I'm sending it. Mm-hmm. You may not know why, but hey, I'm trying to help you out down the line, you know. And I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just planting that seed, mm-hmm. putting it into your subconscious, these positive affirmations, because there's going to be a time where, you know, you're going to be like, hey, you know, I really appreciate these words. This actually kind of helped me down the line. And I know that usually I would have felt in a lower place, but it doesn't feel that bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that I could weather this storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think it's important to note that with affirmations, especially, like, you don't have to necessarily believe them at the time that you're saying, right? I think a lot of times people are like, well, I'm not going to say to myself in the mirror that I'm beautiful, that I'm wonderful, because I don't feel like I am. Mm-hmm. But I think from all of this, it's that, you know, again, it's about planting the seed and watering it. So even if at that moment you don't believe that you're great, still say it until you believe it, right?
Exactly. I mean, I started off like that, you know. I started off when I was a very young teenager. You know, I wasn't that popular in school. I wasn't that like.
I can't imagine that. No.
You know, but it was because of these things that that I learned at such an early age, and I kept repeating it until eventually, you know, I'm a somewhat of a likable person nowadays.
I mean, I think you're likable, and I feel like you're also one of the most confident people. Confident in a good way, not confident arrogant, but actually, like, you know, you're certain about yourself, you're sure about what it is that you want to do, and you really just, you don't let people faze you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think for me, you know, I've been trying to go down this path and journey myself, because I was one of those people who, you know, if the tire did, I would be so like, my whole like chest would be like, you know, I would be so frustrated that my whole day is ruined. But as time has gone on and through life experiences as well, which I think play a big role into like this whole, you know, self-awareness and mindfulness journey as well. Just lessons learned from experiences, you know, now I don't get as frustrated. Like this morning, I actually locked myself out of my apartment because I took off the main keys off my big keychain because I went out this weekend, right. You know, when you went for the birthday turn up. And so I was like, I'm not carrying these big keys. So I took off the main keys to my door. So this morning when I went downstairs, I grabbed the big key thinking that my actual door key's there. So I went downstairs and I came back and I'm like, shit, I am locked out of my apartment. My son is in school. I have flip-flops on, so I can't even walk to his school to get the keys. I was like, what am I going to do? And I started to feel like the anxiety. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, no, you have a spare set with the super. Mm-hmm. Go downstairs, and see if he can give you the spare set. And so I went downstairs. I knocked on the door. The assistant was there. And I'm like, listen, I locked myself out. Do you have my spare keys? I know you have it. Right. He was like, okay, great. Just bring it right back. I was like, oh my gosh, thank God.
Right.
And I just left it at that. But I had already felt like the tingling in my chest. But I had to sit back and just like, no, this is going to work out somehow. But even little things like that.
Yeah. I mean, these things are what help. These situations to go in your favor, because a lot of times, when people are panicking and they get so stressed out about things, they just create an opportunity for more bad things to happen. You mm-hmm. see, and that the key is to actually, no pun intended, right? The key is to actually be positive and believe that things are going to work out. That you affirm with yourself and with your God that all things are going to work out for me, and regardless of the situation that I'm in, and that these positive affirmations have a compound effect. Just like when you invest your money into an index fund, it builds up to a compound effect. It's same thing with positive affirmations. Same thing with affirmations, whether it's negative or positive, it builds up in a compound effect. So, which one do you want to build up faster? Do you mm-hmm. want it to be a positive event, or do you want it to be a negative event? So you want to give your energy to a positive affirmation where it will build up in your life. So that you prevent certain things like, locking yourself out. But also that if, God forbid, that this does occur, that you are able to handle it in a more respectful manner, and you're able to be more calm, where you can actually think about certain things in a clear manner, where you're able to devise a plan on what to do next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's really where the key. I keep saying the key. Where the key is.
Key, major key.
Yes, the major key. Where the major key point is to really get yourself to a point where you don't let, the happenings of life get you to a point where, you're so negative where it becomes a physical thing, right? Because for me, it becomes a physical thing where my head gets spinny, my vision is cloudy, my chest is, the blood, you feel your blood pressure rise.
It's funny that you say that, because there was actually an author by the name of Louise Hay. She actually had recently passed away, but she wrote a lot of books about this, about how the way that you think actually affects your body. So a lot of times we start having ailments in our body, and we start developing certain diseases and even cancer sometimes mm-hmm. because of the thoughts that we're holding within ourselves. The these negative emotions that we have lying dormant within us, or sometimes even grudge. I mean, I've read certain articles where they would say that one of the main reasons that cancer occurs in people's bodies is because they hold on to certain things, that they're holding on to a grudge, they're holding on to some effect of how somebody did them wrong, and they keep thinking about it, they keep playing it in their mind and say, this person wronged me, and it just keeps festering and festering and festering until it turns into something in your body. You start to realize, hey, why do I have this headache? Why do I have this pain in my leg? Why do I mm-hmm. And it's like, and it's because of these certain thoughts that you're having. And when you become more mindful, you start to realize, hey, that's a negative thought. Wait, let me just take my attention off of that and let it go. I understand why it came. Thank you. But it's time for you to go. Let me focus on something more positive. Mm-hmm. Okay. What am I grateful for? What am I still alive today? Right. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing to be grateful yeah. for. Right. do I have something to eat? Do I have somewhere to sleep? Do I have somebody that I could call on? Right. And, these are certain things that, help shift your attention to a positive side.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, and I think that especially, I've heard people have gratitude journals,
right?
Because some people they need that visual, I guess. It's one thing, yeah, it could be in my head, but they need to see it on paper. They need to be able to look at it after they write it to be like, wow, no, it's real now because I wrote it down and I see it. But I feel like at the end of the day, what does it hurt to be positive, right? What does it hurt to say, I'm great, I'm beautiful, I'm amazing? Whether you believe it or not, what does it hurt? How much is that worth?
It sounds so silly, but it's these little things are what help build into a positive lifestyle. You do a little thing like this, it becomes a habit. So then you start to realize, all right, this habit is becoming more beneficial for me. I start to feel better. I start to glow. People are starting to treat me a different way than I used to, and you know, and then you start to realize, hey, you know, I could do certain things. And I used to use like stuff like this when I would, you know, be in sports like football and wrestling and even track and baseball. I remember when I first started to use a positive affirmation was when I was in minor league, little league rather. Mm-hmm. And I would always strike out. And my coach said to me, he's like, listen, before you go back up there to go swing at the ball, say to yourself, I'm going to hit the ball. I'm going to hit the ball. I'm going to hit the ball. I said, you know what? All right, I'm trying. I was probably only 8 years old at the time. And I said it. And sure enough, when the pitch came, I hit a home run. I was so shocked. I couldn't even believe it. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? I didn't even know what to do because I never hit the ball before. So I'm standing there like, run. I'm like, all right. You know, but from there, that planted a seed that, hey, you know what? You know, positive affirmations, they lead to something better. And, you know, that's what had helped me become very successful, like within my football career in high school and my wrestling career. Like, I went to All Island. I was like labeled as All Island wrestler because, mm-hmm. I would say positive affirmations. I would affirm me winning. I would affirm me being calm and collective in that situation. And sure enough, like things just like work out in that way. I remember when my dad was telling me about mind science. Like, I was like, that sounds like a bunch of nonsense. Like, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? Like, answers would just come to me if I just, you know, focus on mind science. He's like, what do you mean? Like, teachers would just give me answers. I'm like, you know, he's like, you know, just give it a shot. Just try it. Just affirm it to yourself that you're smart, that things are working out for you, that all things are working in your favor. And sure enough, I remember I was taking a test in high school. I was in the eighth grade. And I didn't know the answer to a certain test and to a certain question on a test. And the teacher just came over to me and just pointed out the answer. I was like, how the heck did that happen? I told my father, and I was like, you're right. This works. He goes, see, son. He's like, whatever you, life treats you the way you treat life. And, you know, as long as you go into it with a positive attitude, you'll take back from it positive mm-hmm. events and, you know, situations that will occur in your life.
So this mindfulness thing is not a gimmick. Like, a lot of people, you know, they take it as like a gimmick, or you just, you know, this whole, because, you know, you see it packaged a lot of times when people are like, you know, you can get whatever you want. If you want to be rich tomorrow, just say it and you're going to be rich tomorrow. If you want a house tomorrow, you know, so people, when they package it to sound silly in a sense, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm not going to sit here today and say I'm going to be a millionaire tomorrow, literally,
right.
and then expect that tomorrow I'll be an actual millionaire.
But you want to build up that energy
yeah.
towards that. I mean, for example, you know, the house that Cynthia and I had bought, you know, at the time of us purchasing it, at the time of us actually going for it, we didn't even know that we were going to be able to get the house, right? Mm-hmm. We had our eyes focused on something small like a condo. And certain situations happened where, you know, the bank didn't want to give us the loan, and it was for a property that was like half the price of the house that we mm-hmm. have right now. But, you know, when we got denied, instead of complaining about it, we said, okay, you know what? We're just going to go back to the drawing board and just focus on the foundations that we came up on. And I said, you know what? Let's just write it out. You know, and we wrote a positive affirmation already claiming that we already bought the house. Mm-hmm. And we said the address, and we thanked God for it, that it was already done. We blessed everybody in the situation. And sure enough, we got approved by a different bank for twice the loan amount for a bigger house that we were able to rent out. That is what started our investment portfolio. And that was all because of affirmations, because all odds were against us. But because we kept affirming it, even though things didn't seem like it was going to work out, mm-hmm. we just kept affirming that this was going to be, that this was done, that this was already ours. And sure enough, you know, things start to go. And even though like there was little hiccups along the way, mm-hmm. we just kept going back to the affirmations. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with this house. We didn't know how we were going to get it, but we trusted in you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the house at such and such address. And we love it, and it's perfect for us and our family. And sure enough, we kept saying it every day, and it came to fruition, which is where you're able yes, to
where
party.
We have the Lit Thanksgiving 2018. I'm waiting for Lit Thanksgiving 2019
exactly,
as well.
We're going to have to set that up. And, you know, hopefully we could do that in the next house.
Yes, definitely. Well, there you go. Right. Okay, I already see it. You're already claiming it.
Exactly.
So real quick, I guess to end, we're going into 2019. Mm-hmm. And this is the time where people are, you know, trying to set up 2019. They're already coming up with New Year's resolutions and whatnot. I guess what would be your advice for everyone going into the new year?
Okay. So rather than waiting for January 1st to start whatever you're going to do, start now. Mm-hmm. Start now. Start preparing yourself from now before you go into 2019. Create the habit now, because when you always when you try to set a goal that you're going to do something further in the future rather than thinking about it in the now, mm-hmm. you're continuously sending that energy that it's further away in the future, and then you continue to procrastinate. You keep procrastinating and saying, "All right, you know, all right, tomorrow I'm going to do it. January 1st, I'm going to do it." And then the next day occurs, mm-hmm. and the next day. And then you never actually do it. You don't build up that residual energy, that equity to actually have the discipline to actually follow through with it. So my advice is start now. Don't wait until January 1st to make the change.
And
start
that's,
now.
That's really good advice, because I hear that a lot. People are waiting for like the new year. Even for myself, you know, I was like, you know, there's certain directions I'm trying to take. In 2019, I'll wait till then. And I was like, no, you know what? I'm still in December. Like, I know that I want to take these new directions. Why must I wait till January?
Bite
Let me
the
do
bullet,
it now.
Eat the frog. Just get through with it. You know, do it when you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Do it when you don't want to do it and build that discipline.
Yeah. And that's the key word there too, discipline. Using the word key. But yeah, but it's the discipline. And I think a lot of us don't have that. And that's where I think, especially within our community, where we lack and where we suffer, because the discipline isn't there. The ideas are there. The desire might even be there, but the discipline, I think, to carry it forward.
I mean, you know, you start off with yourself by trying to like build upon this discipline, but also try to seek for somebody who's actually doing what you want to do, mm-hmm. and have them hold you accountable. You know, try to speak to them, let them know, share your goal with them that, hey, you know, I want to do this with my life. And if they're already doing it, hold me.
Yeah.
Can you help hold me accountable? Because that is what like keeps people going and keeps them in line. You know, it's just like having a coach, you know, or a mentor, you know, mm-hmm. these type of things help, because a lot of times we try to take it all on ourselves and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to control. But guess what? You know, we're human. We lose that mm-hmm. steam. We lose that fire. So we need somebody to help, you know, rejuvenate it, you know? And part of it is on our end, but the other part is actually having somebody who's following the same path as you, or actually further ahead in the same path that you're trying to go towards, and having them give you that energy, because, mm-hmm. you know, they're willing to help, because they know that they've been there before too.
All good advice. All good advice for the new year, guys. All good advice. You know, we're just trying to like create like an atmosphere where people feel like, you know, they're feeling positive to move forward. Because right. I think there's a lot of I don't know, feelings of failure, feelings of, you know, inadequateness that's going around, especially around this time. And so I feel like the last couple of episodes, just trying to kind of, you know, do shows that kind of touch on top of that, because it's just observations within myself and from other people
right.
that I feel like it's good to kind of like, you know, I don't know, create a platform where people can talk about certain things,
right.
but can also kind of like receive, right? Receive the positive energy to move forward.
And that's the shift that the world has taken. And, you know, it's a ship that's starting to take on passengers. So it's best to get on it now before that ship takes off.
Right? Well, all right, Cousin Orville, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
This was a really good conversation, and I know that somebody's going to take at least something from this conversation. And so, I mean, how can we get in contact with you? Like, what's your social media handles?
Well, you can reach me on Instagram at OD_RealTalkX, or you could follow me on Facebook, Orville Xavier Davis.
What a regal name.
Thank you.
And also, guys, if you didn't quite get that and you're following me at According to RP on Instagram and on Facebook, just send me a DM and I will put you in contact with Orville. So before we end, quickly, I have just one last word from our sponsors. This month's sponsor is the Brooklyn Common Space at the Bushwick location. For a limited time, there's an offer of 2 months membership. The special deal is 50% off the normal rate for office space at the Brooklyn Commons Bushwick location when you obtain a 6-month membership agreement. So that is a wrap for this episode. Again, Orville, thank you so much for joining us today for a very, very important conversation. I will have you back again.
Thank you.
Definitely. And talk to you guys next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday. I can't wait to come. come back. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.
Anytime.
Download it now.